Hey everyone, it's Natalia. This is part two of Vester Flanagan. If you have not listened to part one, you need to go back and do that, or you will be completely lost. I know you're thinking, no, I won't. Yes, you will. You won't understand any of the details about how this journalist went on live TV to kill two of his coworkers. Then you can come back here and jump into the discussions with me and Stephanie, whether you can sue social media giants, whether or not it's okay for us to be exposed to extreme violence, whether it's even avoidable, and whether or not you can catch chlamydia from the hot tub.
All right, I'm Stephanie.
I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
Just within regards to the lawsuit, Instagram and Facebook are both being resued because of Section 230 right now. Not because of the same thing, but this general idea that social media platforms are protected. People are unable to sue them.
Remind me of a question about this whole topic after this, because it's about the Delphi case.
Okay.
But to wrap up Vester Flanagan with a bow, I think we should talk about, obviously, the references that he made were chilling, and law enforcement kind of knew that he would kill again because of his plans and his admiration to the Columbine shooters and Virginia Tech shooters. What the troopers did is when they were able to track him down, he rented a vehicle from the airport, and when they ran the plates, because obviously every trooper, cop, everyone was on the look for him, they found the Chevy truck, I believe he rented from the airport. They found out it was him. And at 10 a.m. in August 2015, so in an attempt to pull over the car, Vester turned this, what should be just a normal, like a routine stop. Mm-hmm. More troopers actually had to join in this chase because he would not stop, obviously. This short-lived chase ended by running the car off the road and into an embankment. The whole thing only lasted 2 miles. Troopers actually had to surround the vehicle to arrest Vester. However, when the troopers got out of the car and surrounded the vehicle, there was a single shout that rang out. The same gun that was used to kill Parker and Ward was used by Vester to shoot himself. And although they airlifted him to the nearest hospital, he was pronounced dead on arrival at 1:26 p.m. This, unfortunately, isn't the first time a journalist has been killed live on TV, but it's the first time a fellow journalist took down another coworker on live TV. It obviously sent shockwaves through the communities because we talked about how close-knit the community of journalists are. They marry each other. It seems like they work at stations for a long time.
I think that the lifestyles just, I think it's like when you see celebrities all are together, you understand each other, you understand the sacrifices you're making, the kind of schedules you're going to have. Everybody's getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get makeup done. You're in those environments together. It's going to happen.
It's just awful to think that this was all literally started by workplace rivalries and mental health needing attention. And I did put a little note because mental health needing attention. I don't want to say people have issues. I don't want to be a jerk and being that. It's just there was mental things happening that needed to be addressed. That's it.
And I think one of the things we didn't mention was that the company, the last one he was working for, referred him directly to mental health services that they provided, and he would not go.
Mm.
They had directed him to those services, and he refused to show up for the appointment. There is something to be said about the help was offered.
Yes.
And it was refused. It's a very difficult situation. If somebody doesn't want to get help, what do you do at that point?
Yeah, you can't force someone to get help.
No, but you have to protect everybody else from them.
Yeah. The part that was really hard for me, because this started in 1999. He made it to 2015 and things followed him from job to job, but there were issues such as the station closing down or he was out of the country. So when he was hired at new places, there was no evidence of him having the situations that were happening. So they were like, this guy's got a great resume. He's going to be a great fit. We are glad we're going to put him on television. But look at what happened. I did put in, and can put it in the notes about sources for mental health or harassment at work. There are services that can step in. Not everything needs to be a civil lawsuit.
Please, listen, we are lawsuit happy in this country. It needs to stop. People are abusing the system, and people are just suing because they know that companies can't fight everything, and they are just wanting to take the money.
Easier to just pay them to go away. I mean, if it's a serious situation, there are steps in place for people to get help, whether it's in the civilian world, military world. It's 2023. Let's get it taken care of.
Yeah, but there's also, you know what, there's steps. You don't have to go from zero to 1,000. If you're having a problem, there's ways to handle things before you have a tantrum and say, I'm going to sue this company.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything is a personal affront. Not everything was done intentionally to hurt you. Not every watermelon left outside was a secret signal that people were targeting you.
You don't need to throw a cross at a...
If you got fired and the next person that was hired was a different color than you, or a different sex than you, or a different sexual orientation than you, or a different age than you, look at the situation closely before you start crying wolf. Okay? Because yes, it may be that you were discriminated against, but maybe it's also just that the next person that got hired was the right candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you did something that you shouldn't have done. Maybe you were fired because you didn't do your job. All I'm saying is people need to stop being trigger happy. Quite literally.
Literally.
Quite literally stop being trigger happy on the lawsuits and on elsewise, on weapons. Stop this shit.
It obviously is getting, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's people are too sensitive. I think it's just that they do go zero to 100.
I think it's also a lot of purposeful manipulation, which I think we saw in his second lawsuit when he was, when you see somebody who's going into multiple lawsuits, it just looks like.
It's like that is go-to. Yep, that's his go-to.
Like this is your MO. Looks like you're just making up stories. You're a liar. You're looking for this sort of fight because you know that you're going to settle out of court. You saw how it worked the first time.
So this is a little bit of a can of worms, but do you want to talk about Section 230 and how websites may have immunity from lawsuits? Because Andy Parker, the father of Allison, was upset at how the videos were shared. And when things get forward, it's out of control. There's, I mean, you can stop the source, but the video is already saved.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's already out there.
Yeah, talking about lawsuits. So yes, so he brought those lawsuits up and they didn't go anywhere. He didn't get anywhere with these lawsuits. It was very upsetting for him. He's still trying to, you know, fight the good fight. However, he's losing. And from what I understand in my research is all parents and victims who have tried to go up against Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat to form any kind of lawsuit have failed.
Mm-hmm.
This Section 230 is a blanket protection for these big social media websites.
For Meta and...
Yes, all of them. But for all internet companies in general, that basically protects them. So that if something bad happens on their platforms, they can claim, it wasn't me, it was whoever was using me, right? Mm-hmm. I am not who uses me, right? Like if I built a restaurant and somebody came into my restaurant and did something bad inside of it, I could say, well, it wasn't me because I just built the restaurant. But if someone does something bad inside it, I didn't condone their actions, right? And I understand that to a degree. However, there's been enough research, there's been enough whistleblowing, there's been enough documents leaked, there's been enough studies that we know these websites are not doing enough to monitor their content, that they've pushed autoplay forward for their ad revenue, that they're not protecting minors from their content. They're not protecting us from violent content, from harassing content, from explicit content. It's fine if you choose to opt in for it to be automatically played for everyone and for you to have to step forward to opt out is backwards.
Or unsubscribe or check those boxes in.
And the priority shouldn't be your ad revenue. The priority should be the user safety. Really, the big thing now that we're in 2023, I mean, these lawsuits that her dad was bringing forward back then were about violent videos. And it triggered. So one of the things we didn't mention, this whole event with Vector ended up delaying a bunch of video game releases.
Oh, really?
Who is the actor in Bohemian Rhapsody who played Freddie Mercury?
Oh, the...
Malek, right? Rami?
Rami Malek.
Yes. So he is in that other show. What's the robot? He plays the TV show. The title, it has robot. It's not iRobot. That was with Will Smith.
I know you're talking about it. It's Rami Malek is the actor.
And the title of the show is something robot. Fuck, people are screaming right now.
Everyone's
yelling. I'm so sorry, guys.
Mr. Robot.
They delayed the season premiere because they said the first episode had scenes similar. I don't know if it was...
He was like a hacker
shooter
in the show or
something.
Yeah,
but I guess the opening episode had something with gun violence.
Okay.
Or something. So this whole thing was very impactful in other forms of media. So, I mean, we understand cognitively the effects we're having on each other. We have to now have these companies be more accountable. They have to understand that whether they like it or not, inherently what they are presenting to the world, and because their platforms are allowing these videos, if a user posts something like a live killing video that then will go viral, there is a certain amount of responsibility, and you don't get to sit back anymore and say, sorry, I can't take responsibility.
I don't know if it's, they don't have the manpower to do it, or there's just
They can hire more.
There have been instances, I mean, this is a very sensitive subject. However, people have live streamed their suicide, or nice kind of happy stories where, like, I don't know why this family did this, but Pandora was able to send the playlist and the song of the exact time and second that their loved one passed away because they put Pandora on and just let it play while they were out of the room. So they have the ability to do these things. And these things were years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they know how to do this.
They're watching us and listening to our phones every fucking second. Let's be honest. They have the ability to better monitor. But let's talk about the real dark thing.
Yeah.
They love when shit goes viral.
That's true.
It doesn't hurt them.
But the shit that goes viral, it only lasts, what, a day?
The other thing is, it's not just the social media. We'll go into also how this was really bombarded in also like the television media. But before we leave the Facebook and the Twitter and all of this, you know, once it's out there and it's broadcast, they have this ability to get out there and pull this shit down. But if something's getting millions of hits over and over,
they're gonna
fucking look the other way. And even if it's only for a day or 2 days or 3 days, 3 days times millions of hits, and more people are coming to your website over and over and over. This whole idea, it needs to be rewritten. They need to have more accountability. Oh, and so what I was saying is, you know, back then it started this whole thing because of violent videos. People were getting so upset with the beheadings and terrorist shit. People were being just shown so much violence because the videos would autoplay.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a bigger problem. Maybe these lawsuits are going to go somewhere. Now the big problem with these social media platforms is that they're being used to target for human trafficking and for predatory behavior. So now you've got an even bigger problem. Now you're not just sharing videos of violence. Now you're being a platform for predators.
Okay.
So now maybe these lawsuits are going to go somewhere because now parents and people are standing up and saying, you need to better monitor your actual fucking users, their profiles, because this guy was posting on his Facebook his hatred.
It was rapid fire, too. You don't wait to be reported.
No.
He was going on tangents.
Yes.
And rapid fire tweeting, Facebook posts.
And they've seen this before, where they've seen people who have vented for days or weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's going on for hours, you're telling me you don't have enough bots, enough manpower, enough algorithm for somebody to pick that shit up. But you'll know when I give a keyword and then show me ads for that for the next week.
Okay, stop. Alexa records my voice every time I want to add a duvet cover to my shopping list.
Yep. I can't. We know it's there. They have it and they need to take responsibility for it. This whole business of we can't do anything.
Or at least take ownership because they have the ability. We've heard instances of like good things happening.
They have
the ability.
They need to do better. Don't be the Triangle Shirt Factory. Don't be the Ford Pinto. The Radium Girls.
The Chevy Nova.
Like. Don't be these companies who wait till everybody's in a dumpster fire, till everybody's hurt to finally say like, oh, I guess we'll do something now. But it's not just them. So we're going to transition a little bit into how the video were then replayed by news stations on TV.
Yes.
Now, some news stations, I think it was ABC, refused to play the video at all. I think most news stations chose to show still shots or a couple of seconds of the video. I think CBS played that video every hour for the first 24 hours. Now, there's two camps on this. There is the camp that says the video's out there and people are going to see it anyway. It's the news and people have a right to know. And if you didn't want to watch it, you can turn it off or keep scrolling.
What do you think? Do you think?
Well, so I'm going to tell you what the other camp says it's egregious. It's disgusting. It's rubbernecking. We're desensitizing ourselves to this violence.
You could argue voyeurism too.
Right? We shouldn't be watching this. It's wrong. We're cheapening their deaths. We don't need to be bombarded with this. It's people want to go see it. There's enough out there that you can go looking for it. That's bad enough. And I thought for a long time that I was in that camp of, all right, we don't need to look at this. It's unnecessary, right? For example, I still have not, and I won't, watch the video of that black guy that was beat to death by those cops. I won't watch it. I've heard about how
Minneapolis?
Yeah, I heard how horrific it was.
George Floyd?
Yeah. I was like, I won't. Any of them. I don't like watching those things. I never watched any of those videos of any of those journalists that got beheaded. I've never been one to watch those videos.
ISIS.
I won't do that.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. When it comes to the things like George Floyd, that 100% was something awful, terrible, disgusting. But should the images be shared of a man dying? But that story needed to be shared because...
Oh, well, the story, of course, we have to know. We have to know because
it's not okay.
No, we can't keep it quiet. It has to be said, of course.
And things explode to, like, Black Lives Matter, which, I mean, is important because sometimes their lives didn't matter, and that's not okay.
No. Yes, no, the story has to be told. Absolutely.
But do the images of
the
story...
But does the video have to be played for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, here's this other thing.
Okay.
So going along with these, should we watch it? Should we not watch it? At the time, a lot of people came out and said, you know, they shouldn't be playing this video because that's what Vester wanted. That's why he uploaded the video to Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you play it or you share the video, you're fulfilling a killer's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing into his hand. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to help somebody who was sick and twisted?
You don't want to support him because it's like giving...
Passing around the Unabomber's manifesto.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why when there is a shooting, they don't mention the shooter's name anymore.
Right? So this is what these people were saying. And I'm like, I'm still sitting in camp. Let's not share it. And then there was... And I should have her name down. I do have the link where she did the quote. It's somewhere. It will be in our sources. There was an African-American female professor... Something with cultural studies, and she came out and she said, first of all, what does that say when we start talking about whether or not we want to play into a killer's goals? Are we going to start putting ourselves in the mindset of killers? That's a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
She said we shouldn't make decisions based on whether or not we're playing into or not playing into somebody's goals. Our own goals, our own choices should be independent. She's like, this idea of, well, does it help him or not help him? She's like, he's dead.
Yeah.
He is not going to get anything out of this. She's like, now, if he was alive and getting a kick out of it, she said, I'd have a different opinion.
Like, no.
She's like, but he's dead. He's not going to get anything out of this. You could feel differently, right? Because... Do you want a killer to be more famous even in death? I'm just telling you what her opinion was. Okay. But then she said something that I thought was more interesting. She said, why is it I hear this the loudest when it's videos having to do with whether it's the victim or it's the perpetrator? She's like, I hear this the loudest when somebody involved is Black.
Accurate.
Now she's also Black. Okay. I'm just putting this out there so people can think for themselves. Her point of view was, when these things happen, if we don't look at them so that we can learn from them, then they happen for nothing. She says, the idea that we're desensitized to it is ridiculous because every day we're watching movies and playing video games and desensitizing ourselves to it anyway. She said, when it really happens, she says, and it's in this type of thing, you know, it's not like we're watching a video of someone, you know, getting stabbed a million times. We're not watching a video where someone's getting raped. She's like, but these shootings, especially when it's shootings between law enforcement, these shootings where it's coworkers, these sort of like public displays where it was meant to be public. Mm-hmm. She's like, we need to take a good hard look at what that says about us, what it said about them. She's like, we need to unpack that, especially because it was something having to do, at least in his mind, about race. His victims were white. It had this racial tension in it.
So
whether it was part of his lie, not. So that was her take on it, was that she felt that it was a video being suppressed because of its racial implications. And then I was like, you know what? I've never thought about that. I would have to go back and actually think about whether other videos have or have not been suppressed in my media before me. Because I typically have always shut down those videos. For me, I don't want to watch them. I've never thought about who's playing in them.
Well, you can argue, think about Gabby Petito. She was a cute blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. And, there's brown girls who get murdered as well. So why is Gabby
Petito? Well, so that's the media coverage. So she was saying separate from media coverage, because okay. We know that white people get better coverage all the time. That's like when there was the Peterson case. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of other Black pregnant women at that time who got killed. That's why mm-hmm. there's other conspiracy theories about how Scott Peterson's innocent. Yeah. Anyway, that's okay. side story. But
that's another podcast episode.
White people get more media coverage than minorities. We all know this if you're in the true crime world.
We get it.
She's talking specifically about videos.
Okay.
But I couldn't think of other videos other than when cops get it on their body cams. So, like, this guy had his video. But what other videos do we see other than in shooter videos? I know that they have those suicide videos, but, like, I've never watched any of these videos. So I was like, you know what? Moving forward, I'm going to have this cognizance to see if, all right, does the media tend to shy away from the videos or suppress the videos mm-hmm. if they feel that it's going to be racially charged? Or is it really just an issue of do or do not watch because it's violence? I really didn't sit in her camp. I really just feel that, I'm sorry, it's not about desensitizing, because fine, she's right, we desensitize. I mean, I'm in true crime. I look at crime scene photos all the time.
For sure.
But I just feel that there's a level of you trying to get ratings. And like when we talked about that guy with the TV show mm-hmm. and people watching a human suffer on TV for ratings, I don't want to watch
Soon-Chi Den-Po and
Eggplant.
Yeah, Eggplant.
I just don't feel that watching this shit on TV is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do feel that for journalism, it is fair to put a still shot the next day on the front page. That is news. But I don't think I need to watch the video live okay. every hour Okay, CBS. That is just you being, making it sensationalized for putting it in my face, ratings, come watch our channel. Like, that seems like you're exploiting.
That's the word, exploiting.
Exploiting these people's deaths for ratings. So do I think you could use a still shot for your news? Yeah, I think that that's media coverage. And you're right. If I don't want to see it, this is why I don't watch the news. That's why I listen to 15 minutes on my NPR podcast. And it's audio because I don't like seeing this shit. And I can only handle 15 minutes of real world news. So I don't necessarily agree with her, but it was something interesting that I read. And because everything in this story seemed to be wrapped around, you know, was there discrimination or not? I just thought people should know that was something that was out there. And this idea, I did think it was interesting that she brought up how, you know, because that is something we hear in the true crime world is, oh, should we really be giving attention to the serial killer? Yeah. Should we mention their names when we read the story? You know, how much do we give the devil his due? So it's just, I thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
Not necessarily that I agree, but it's there.
It's there. It's out there. Okay. I like that you dived into that because there's so many arguments and everyone.
The nuances. You could really get into nitty gritty. You could really split apart. Like, oh, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll watch this much, but not that much. You know what I mean? Like, people will really.
It's your fault because you watched it or it's you didn't scroll past it. Like, right, there's so many
things. Right. There's people in that camp of, well, if you don't like it, keep scrolling. Right. Yeah. If it's not for you, it's not for you. Mm-hmm. But.
What do you do? Yeah.
How much is it your responsibility for putting out there if you're a major news media outlet?
I agree. Yeah. Oh. So many, I mean, we could have an entire podcast dedicated to that entire topic. That's like, whoever wants to do that for us.
Because we can't do everything.
We can't do everything. We're just.
Take it and run. Take it and run, guys.
There you go.
Violence in media. Go on.
Promo code Mammoth. So to end this, I think we should kind of end on the nurse is in corner.
Yes, we're going to completely fly off into another corner, guys. We've made a new corner for this.
Made a new corner, but I think because the topic is like so big, it can be very heavy. It can be very polarizing.
Yep.
Let's just end with something fun.
Yeah, we're just
going to take the wheel.
Go somewhere else. Boom.
All right.
Left turn.
Was there anything that you wanted to wrap up from the podcast?
I think that the most perfect way ever to wrap up the podcast would be for us to alive. I'm Stephanie. I'm Natalia. And together. Yes.
Okay.
We understand.
Hi, everyone. This is Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia. And this is
Till Death Do Us Part. I think we're professionals.